Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. Reggie, you with me back there? There we are. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I am looking forward to that day. This prophecy is talking about the coming of Jesus. And this is the second Sunday of Advent, and we're looking forward to Christmas. I know all of you are, and I don't know what it is that you're looking forward to. Maybe we should have you shout it out, the things that you're looking forward to. How many would looking forward to eggnog? Anybody? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know about me, but family? Good times with family? All right. Lights? Anybody like lights? Woo! I know my wife loves lights. So, I don't know. Yeah, they wouldn't probably go up if it wasn't for her. Decorating. Anybody like the Christmas decorations? Aren't they beautiful here this morning? Yeah. Gifts? Anybody looking forward to some kind of gift this year? Yeah? I know. I kind of purchased my own gift. I'm sorry. Yeah. Kids are dismissed for Christmas practice. You know, and I just complained about this week. Like, we never get this right. You know what happens when you complain about something, right? Yeah, Vicky's looking at me. Yeah. Sorry, kids. I was thinking about what I was looking forward to. I'm looking forward to building a computer for Christmas. That's kind of my Christmas present to myself. So I've got all these parts that I've ordered, and I don't have all of them yet, but I have a Roswell Blackhawk case. It's awesome. It lights up with these blue lights when you turn it on. It is so cool. And then I got the i5 6600K processor to go inside it, and an RT480 graphics card. I have yet to decide on the motherboard, but I'm excited about putting this all together. So I don't know what you're excited about, but that's kind of one of the things that I'm excited about. Parties? Anybody excited about going to a Christmas party? Yeah? No? Maybe the office parties are not a non-starter, I don't know. Special programs and services, yeah, like the chorus being here. Let's give them a hand again. And I have to say, I'm impressed with these kids because, I don't know if you can call them kids, but anyway, they're singing up here, and then I know that a bunch of them have a performance this afternoon. They had a performance last night and probably up late, and then they got to tear all that down this afternoon and get ready for the hymn sing that's going to be at Rosedale Bible College tonight. So I think those people are going to be exhausted. And of course, they got finals next week, right? Yeah, on top of all of that. So yeah, I'm impressed. Good job. But yeah, all the special things that happen this time of year, we look forward to, don't we? We could name any manner of things that we could think about. Last Sunday, Reuben started us on a good trajectory, I think, calling us to take full advantage of this Advent season, to go deeper, to go deeper. We know there's so much stuff going on, but it's going to take us 4 weeks probably to kind of peel back the layers to what really Christmas is about, what we want to focus on. The frenzy of Christmas, both good and the bad, to focus on what's brightest and best. What is it about Jesus coming that we celebrate and look forward to? Both his first coming and his second coming, which is to come yet. Well, the thing that I have been thinking about ever since Reuben's sermon last week is he kind of was drawing these questions out of us is peace. I keep thinking about peace. Does anybody else wish for peace? Do I have an amen? Amen. Amen. Peace in the world. Peace in your workplace. Peace in your home. Peace with all races, all mankind. Maybe peace in your family. Maybe there are things in your family where you're sitting here this morning and you're like, there's no peace. Peace with friends. And peace with yourself, if you know what I mean, internally. But most of all, peace with God. So I wish for peace. Listen to the promise, Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Does that not make you long for peace, of which there will be no end? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I could hardly think of anything better to celebrate and to look forward to than this peace that is talked about here in this prophecy. As each day brings news and pictures of children being bombed, people being gunned down, nations at war, I long for peace. The election exposed some deep divisions within our country, and I was listening to the news over Thanksgiving time, and they were talking about Thanksgiving wars. What are Thanksgiving wars? Well, it's a new term, I think, where those people who are families where they're deeply divided politically, actually, some of them didn't even get together over Thanksgiving. In fact, they were talking about a mother who called her daughter and said, if you're going to bring that Facebook stuff that you're saying out there, you're going to bring that home, you can just stay where you're at. And she said, fine, I'm going to. And the mother tried to patch things up later, but she didn't go home for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving wars, you never know what kind of war breaks out amongst us. We have marriage wars. Maybe there'll be Christmas wars coming up. I don't know, as we approach Christmas. Church wars. You've heard of them. Maybe you've been a part of them. Wars in the workplace. And then families, bitterly divided and at each other. We could go on. I don't want to focus too much on the negative side of this, but we know what we're talking about. There's this internal war then that's going on inside of each of us. We struggle. We struggle ourselves to find peace. And sometimes we call out to God and say, where is that peace? I need that peace. Some of us are our worst enemies as we battle internally with self-worth and fears about all manner of things. Peace might be the last word that you would think of at times to describe yourself. There are times where the best way to describe myself is, I'm a mess. You ever describe yourself that way when somebody asks you, how you doing? I'm a mess. Well, we don't often, I don't know, we're probably not honest with people, but often that would be the answer, should be the answer that we give to people. And there's probably some of you this morning who could say that. I'm a mess this morning. I long for peace. Peace in the world, in our relationships, in the church, and peace in my own heart. I long for it. And it is why I think of Christmas coming and all that it means, and my mind keeps coming back to the promise of peace in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Can we dare hope and dream of that peace this morning? Reuben reminded us last week of the age-old problem found way back at the beginning of time in the book of Genesis, God created everything and it was good, right? And not just good, it was perfect. Perfect. For a brief time, mankind lived in a perfect world and walked with God in the garden. And as we recounted last week, Adam and Eve chose to disobey, and we choose to disobey, each one of us. And really what we're talking about is we're talking about opposition to God, aren't we? If we're really honest, isn't that what our disobedience is? It's opposition to God. In fact, that there isn't peace between us and God. Sin is opposition to God. We're ultimately in conflict with God when we sin. And we see it clearly in the pages of Genesis here, what happens. After Adam and Eve sinned, God sent them out of the garden. And this picture, I can't get it out of my mind, as he sends them out of the garden, it talks about the cherubim that he puts at the entrance to the garden to guard the way to the tree of life. With a flaming sword, no longer can you go back there. To that tree of life. No longer did they walk with God in the garden in a close, intimate relationship. That didn't happen anymore. No longer was the world perfect. And then as you keep moving through quickly, chapter 4, we see Cain and Abel, and you know the story. Cain kills his brother Abel. Conflict, violence, and strife begin to permeate the earth. And by chapter 6, we have God's clear assessment of the situation. Verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. These aren't new problems. They've been with us from the beginning. You might think that things are worse now than they were 50 years ago or whatever, but these are not new problems. Maybe cyclic in some way. But the same problems existed at the beginning, they exist now. And it brings me back to the question, can we dare dream and hope for peace? Is there a solution out there? Can we build walls and keep the evil and violence out? Can we wipe out all the evil people? Just take them out. Solve the problem that way. Start over. Well, it's interesting to me that God demonstrates, I believe, the fallacy of those ideas with the flood. You find the most righteous man, Noah. Wipe out all the people, other people, keep them out of the ark, and start over, right? Everything's going to be good. No, it didn't work. And God knew it wasn't going to work. I think he demonstrated to us that never works. It doesn't work. We can't, unless we eliminate everyone, we can't eliminate sin in that way. And strife. Mankind continues to search for a solution to the violence, the war and the conflict in the world. And yet, the bombs still fall. The guns still blaze. Abuse is still way too common. Families still disintegrate. Races and religions still can't get along. Oh, there are some successes in history, of course. Great leaders who have brought about a measure of peace like Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, to name a few, you could name some yourself. There have been some lasting peace treaties, at least for a period of time. Been some good education, good laws passed to protect us, penalties for violence, prison, and there's even pink locker rooms. I don't know if you know that. There are there are pink locker rooms that exist. In fact, the University of Iowa, Levi, wherever you are, University of Iowa, they have the visitor's locker room is painted pink. And the idea is, I guess, that pink somehow lowers aggression. So I guess the idea is, and maybe that's why Michigan lost to Iowa, I don't know, but I kind of doubt it. But so I guess we could paint the whole world pink. Wouldn't it be great? Yeah, I don't think so. However silly or impressive our solutions are, they all fall short. My observation is that we live in a world that is still desperately looking for peace. It longs for peace. I long for peace. Can we hope for it? Absolutely. Absolutely. The Prince of Peace has come and is coming again. He's the Prince. He's the King. His peace is unstoppable. Peace has come, and it is coming. And no one can deter the Prince of Peace from bringing it. That makes me excited. If we go back to that first scripture that we talked about at the beginning in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. There is no stopping him. He will do it. His peace is complete and comprehensive. He will bring peace to the nations. He will judge them. And the weapons of war will be changed into plowshares and pruning hooks. Although I hope that doesn't mean that we're all going to be knitting. I don't know. I really never liked knitting that much, but I don't know if that's what they're talking about there, pruning hooks. What's a pruning hook? Anybody know? Pardon? In the garden, I thought it was a knitting hook. It's like, I don't get that. They do a lot of, all right, thank you for that. Why did that not make sense to me? I was like, what's a pruning hook? They will study war no more. Study war no more. No more news about children dying in a bombing raid or hospitals being attacked. Can you imagine with me a world without war? Or even the weapons of war? What kind of world would that be? Think about it for a moment. What kind of world would that be? Even the animal kingdom, I'm not sure how literally to take this, but will experience unprecedented peace. We find in Isaiah 11, verse 6, says, the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf all together, and a little child shall lead them. All of creation will be affected by the Prince of Peace. Nothing is going to stop him. So I don't know if this means literally that these things are going to happen in the future. If it does, maybe it's a verse that talks about animals being in heaven. I don't know. Is that, Vicky, you think so? I don't know. Okay. Yeah, maybe so. Or maybe it's not meant to be taken literally like that, but just to talk about the vision, the picture of peace that we're looking at. And of course, the completion of these prophecies has not yet been fulfilled completely. But we look forward to them, don't we? We look forward to them when this day will happen. Peace will come and no one can stop it. The Prince of Peace, his peace is foundational. He alone can deal with the root issues in our lives. And that is our conflict with God. He alone can restore this relationship that has been broken ever since man was created. Only he can bring us back into a right relationship with God the Father. No longer is there this flaming cherubim standing with a flaming sword guarding the way to the tree of life. No longer. By believing in the Prince of Peace, we can once again enter into the presence of God and walk with Him, similar to how Adam and Eve initially walked with Him in the garden. The book of Hebrews puts it this way, chapter 10, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." Peace with God. What an amazing thing. Forgiveness. Freedom from sin and all that comes with it. And this is what we celebrate as we look forward to Christmas. Peace with God. You know that familiar verse in Luke chapter 2. The angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." He brings a peace that is eternal, a peace that lasts forever. If we go back to that scripture, it says, "Of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. No longer will anyone fear war, violence, or strife, or conflict of any kind." Now, you might be wondering, where is this peace? I'm not really feeling it this morning. I'm not really seeing it. I'm not really experiencing it. I don't see it. Where is it? It's not an unusual sentiment, and I get it. The world will not be at peace until Jesus comes a second time to judge the world. And part of Advent is recognizing this fact and looking forward to that day, not just the day that Jesus came as a babe, but to that day when Jesus will come again and will usher in this everlasting peace. What a day that will be. Peace with God? Well, His first coming has already pulled back the curtain. We can walk with Him and talk with Him by placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who, being fully God, took on flesh as a baby. And if you're here this morning and you do not have this peace, you don't know what I'm talking about, I invite you to consider it this morning. You too can have this peace in your heart. You too, this conflict with God can be settled by what Christ did on the cross. You too can have this peace. He's inviting you into this place of peace that He has for you. God is offering it to you. I was thinking of this subject. I thought of that little tune, "I've got peace like a river, joy like a fountain, love like an ocean." Anybody know that little jingle? Yeah, peace like a river. It's, you know, peace with God brings peace in our own hearts, and it brings peace with others around us. It's like a river. It really is. It's like a river flowing out of those who believe. At least that's the way God intended it to be. It flows out of our relationship with Jesus Christ, and it flows into the lives of all of those people around us. All of those areas where we have conflict, The love of Christ flows from us, and we have opportunity as sons and daughters of God to bring this peace into the world. We don't just have to wait till the end. We can have this peace now, and we can be part of bringing this peace into the world. It's our calling to bring this peace into the world. And I'm asking us this morning to consider, how is it that we can let it flow? Maybe you've been thinking about either things that are happening in the world or things that you're involved with, people in your own life. And you're still skeptical, like, I don't ever see how any peace could happen there. Don't be skeptical. We serve the Prince of Peace, the ruler over all. Who are we to say that he can't bring peace into a situation? And who are we to say how that peace will happen? Would we let it flow, even in small ways, maybe to the harried clerk or customer service person this time of year, who isn't experiencing a lot of peace from impatient customers or angry customers? Maybe it is that person that you harbor bitterness towards or anger. Maybe it's to the poor or the homeless who need to hear it from you in some way, whether in action or in word or deed. Maybe it's to the refugees from Syria or from other war-torn areas in the world who need a place to stay. I've thought about this multiple times. What if our church was a place where we sponsored a family or multiple families to escape from a war-torn area and come into a place of peace? Let it flow to the races, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, you name it. Let it flow. And let it flow to your own heart. Your own heart. We are so hard on ourselves. So hard on ourselves. Let God's peace flow into your own heart. Let his peace rule in your heart. It is accessible right now, even in the midst of chaos. One of my favorite pictures of Jesus is when he's sleeping in that boat. You know what I'm talking about. He's sleeping in that boat, and there is a storm raging. In fact, it's such a storm that the disciples are convinced that the boat is going down. And they just can't contain themselves anymore, and they wake him up. Don't you know what's happening here, Jesus? I love that picture. How could he sleep in the boat like that? In the midst of this storm? We know the answer to that. He trusted completely. He knew who was in control. He knew who holds the future. He knew he was the Prince of Peace. I want to be that person. I want to be that person in the boat. Don't you? The storm's raging. Sound asleep like a baby. We can have that from the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. That peace is accessible to every one of us here today. Perfect peace can be found in Christmas as we stay our minds on him and trust in him. I want to close our time this morning with a verse from 2 Thessalonians. And it's kind of a benediction verse. And I want to read it for us. So I didn't just invite you to stand as I read it. Just bow your heads. Listen to the words of Scripture. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen.